Welcome to the media ministry of the Bible Church of Brownsburg. The speaker this morning is Pastor David Kanaversky.
Servants who go and serve your students each week, and we're thankful for the Allisons and the Gibbs that are down there with your kids and the Murrays, and we're so thankful for them and their faithfulness each week to serve our children. You know what, I will always love to bring you guys books, and this is a brand new book. He was one of my professors from the Master's Seminary. He was a co-elder with me. Eventually, I know he is writing a commentary on the Psalms, and I really want to get that when he gets it out. But before that, he has just recently come out with this book called A Psalm, A Primer of Prayer. He's the one that got me to begin to pray the Psalms. And so what he's done is actually he has taken this book, he has taken the Psalm, and in each section, he actually has the Psalm written out on one side, and then a way that you can pray that psalm on the other side of the same, on the other page. It's just a great little tool, and at the very end, we will refer that to you today as we conclude of how we can pray. And he can speak 13 languages. I don't know how many others he knows, but he's just a brilliant gentleman, and he was a co-elder with me for years. So anything by Dr. William Barrick, he's a great scholar of the Hebrew. But you would enjoy this. It's a very practical book just that you can use as you read through the Psalms. I would highly recommend that to you. As Pastor Paul, I've had the chance as I've come recently to preach for you, I've gone through the Psalms, and I'm going to continue that today in Psalm 66. One of my friends, Gunnar Gunderson, who's preached here before, he says this. He says, as a Christian, I love the Psalms. As an academic, I study them. But as a pastor, I need them. It's true that every Christian needs the Psalms, but in recent years, I'm learning that shepherds need the Psalms in unique ways. I think that's very true. The Psalms are just a great treasure trove of truths for us, whether we are academics or as pastors or just lay people. There's something that we need in a very unique way in our unique circumstances and situations that we find ourselves in. And that's why I love to enjoy preaching through the Psalms, because I just need them personally as a shepherd and need them for my own heart. Well, let's pray as we begin Psalm 66. Lord, I'm thankful, the Lord, for the opportunity to come and preach. Pray for Pastor Paul and Jen as they're away. Pray to the Lord they'll be refreshed, come back refreshed from their time to come back and minister to us in the Word. I pray, Lord, even as we are in Psalm 66, dear Lord, it'd be a great time to be reminded, dear Lord, of how we can pray and praise for you. In these things, we pray. Amen. I'm going to read Psalm 66 out loud as though we just get the context, and then we'll go through it together. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Because of the greatness of your power, your enemies will give feigned obedience to you. All the earth will worship you and will sing praises to you. They will sing praises to your name, Salah. Come and see the works of God, who is awesome in his deeds towards the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on the foot. Let us rejoice in him. He rules by his might forever. His eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. Bless our God, O peoples, and sound his praise abroad. Who keeps us in life and does not allow our feet to slip? For you have tried us, O God. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid an oppressive burden on your loins. You made men ride over your heads, over our heads. We went through fire and water. Yet you brought us out into a place of abundance. I shall come to you. I shall come into your house with burnt offerings. I shall pray, I shall pay you my vows, which my lips uttered and my mouth spoke when I was in distress. I shall offer to you burnt offerings of the fat beast with the smoke of rams. I shall make an offering of bulls and of male goats. Come in here, all who fear God, and I will tell of what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his loving kindness from me. Psalm 66 is a psalm of a people have entitled it of a universal praise. This psalm and its companion psalm in 67 that we read earlier speaks of God's awesome deeds. It says in verse 3, how awesome are your works and his power. Psalm 66 and 67 do not identify the author here. Psalm 66 and 68 are linked together as a group of song because we have that setting, the heading there, a song. So this was actually probably literally sung. A psalm a lot of times was written so that they could be recited easily, but this was probably written as a song, as it says here, for us to sing, for the people of Israel to sing as a group. We actually have no author attributed to the psalmist, Psalmist 66 or 67. They're anonymous psalms, actually, as Pastor Paul mentioned last week, neither is Psalm chapter 1 or verse 1, Psalm 1, nor is Psalm 2 or Psalm 33. So the first sections of that, there's only a few psalms that are listed without an author. The setting, again, because we don't necessarily know the author, is kind of hard to identify, so we really don't know the exact setting of this. But there are some good conservative commentators that I would respect, and even Dr. Barrett could be one of them, that thinks that this could be a psalm that was written by Hezekiah. Briefly, who was Hezekiah? Hezekiah became co-ruler at the age of around age 11 with King Ahaz. But you can imagine at age 11, he really had no influence during that time period as he was co-ruling. However, during this time, Hezekiah must have begun and see how Israel had abandoned Yahweh. Because they as a nation under Hezekiah's early reign as a young man, Israel was not following the Lord. Eventually, Hezekiah became king around the age of 25. And one historian states that he says, Hezekiah, quote, Hezekiah led the nation in a great reformation movement that pervaded every aspect of the Judean life. So we see a man, a young man that watched and learned and saw a nation troubled because they neglected the temples. They neglected going to worship and providing sacrifices, and that had all fallen away. At age 25, when he began to become the ruler by himself, he immediately says in 2 Chronicles 29:3, it says, in the first month of his first year, he opened up the temples and reestablished its services. And for 16 days, the priests and the Levites were set out to the work of the purification. And after the purification, the process and complete, and the ritual sacrifices began to be carried out, it tells us that the temple choirs and orchestras broke out into boisterous sound of praise and worship worshiping God. I can see Hezekiah writing this psalm for us as a song, because this is a psalm of worship and praise to God. And as they as a nation neglected that, he began to move towards them quickly. And within the first month of his first year to get people to come back and worshiping. And what happened? The people in their boisterous and loud song began to sing and worship God again. I can see Hezekiah writing this psalm. It actually even tells us in Isaiah chapter 38, it tells us that Hezekiah actually wrote a psalm or a song. You can read that on your own. So some contributors would speculate that this could be Hezekiah, but we don't know for sure. But if we think about that setting, we think about a nation who had neglected worshiping God, and a king began to come in and establish all these things. You keep that into context here, it really seems to fit. Because the psalmist wants us to come and give him praise and glory once again. But we have this interesting word that I read three times. Selah. Selah. It's here in verse 4. It's at the end of verse 7. At the end of verse 15. Actually, it's interesting, though. It's a word, and there's a lot of speculation. Again, there's really no clear definition of what that word means in the Hebrew. Some people speculate it could be a musical instruction, because since it is a psalm of a song, there is speculation that that's what it could be. I think it's also could be interpreted as a place to pause, a place for us to think and reflect after some words are written for us. So it could be that. Some people have actually used this to break up the psalm as a way to teach through it, or to break up the psalm into three sections as an outline. But I think I've broken up differently here, looking through the grammar and some of the thoughts. I've broken it up into four different sections. Psalm 66, 1 through 4, I'm going to title it, Come and Give Praise. Come and give praise. Come and shout joyfully to God, it says in verse 1. And then for second section in Psalm 66, 5 through 12, I've entitled it, Come and See, because of my scriptures, it says, Come and see the works of God. And the third out section of this passage, I've entitled it, Come and Give Sacrifice, or Come and Give Thanks. In verses 13 through 15, I shall come into your house with burnt offerings. In the last section, verses 16 through 20, I've entitled it, Come and Hear. Come and Hear. So we're going to break it down in those four different sections, and we'll outline it that way. Again, this is a beautiful psalm. The psalmist here is going to give us a challenge to worship God with insights and understandings of how to worship Him. He makes this a universal call for the people to come and worship God, although he personally, as a psalmist, has personal reflection himself. God wants his people, like Hezekiah wanted his people, to come back again and remember how to worship God. So let's look at the passage now. Verses 1 through 4, come and sing praises. Come and worship. It says, shout joyfully to the Lord. And that's what it says here. That's what that word means. That word is a trumpet that's declaring victory for all to hear. The psalmist is reminding us, how do we need to proclaim out loud our praise and worship of God, Yahweh? Can you imagine the nation of Israel, after a whole generation not worshiping God, and Hezekiah came and established it within a month, and the temples and the purifications occurred? Do you think they just came and said, thank you, God? The passage didn't say that. They said, in boisterous sound, they came to worship God. That's what he wants us to remind us. We need to be willing to shout out loud and proclaim. What does it say? We need to what? Give glory of his name. Glory of his name. So this last couple weeks in studying this, I just thought about some of his different names up here. Make glory of his name. The next slide, Gwendolyn. These are just some of the names of God. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. The Lord our provider. Does he provide everything for you? He does, just as he did for Israel. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord is our healer. Man, this last year through the body, just BCB, how many times have we seen God graciously heal and provide provision physically for us? Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, protector of us. Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, Lord of peace. Has he given you peace this year? Jehovah Raha, the Lord is our shepherd, as Pastor Paul looked at last week. Jehovah Tiskana, the Lord our righteous. Isn't he right? He is right. He knows what's right. He provides what is right. He tells us what's right. The world will not tell us what's right. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is here. The other names of God in scriptures is Abba Father. Abba, our Father. He's your Father. The Alpha, the Omega. He's the first and the last. A real God who sees. The God who sees day and night. He sees us wherever we're at. This is tax season. He's been watching you as you fill out your taxes, right? Elohim. He's the Supreme One. He's the Mighty One. I think there are certain presidents of countries right now that think they are more supreme than God. But guess what? Who's more supreme? He's Elohim. He's the Mighty One. El Elyon, the God Most High. He's the Lord of Creator. I thought about this last week with our snow, with the weather we've had. I'm amazed. My daughter sent me a little picture of a snowflake on the windshield of a car at college. And it reminded me to think about, what does it say about a snowflake? Every snowflake that falls is unique. Think about just the snowflakes around this area that you saw this last week. Let alone all the snowflakes around the world that are all different. Where does that come from? That comes from our Creator. He is a friend of sinners. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that he has saved us. There's names of God in prophecy. He's called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I'm thankful he is ruler of Israel. He is Emmanuel, meaning God with us. I'm thankful he is here with us today. He's with you tomorrow. He will be with you next year. He will be with you during your next trial or circumstance or situation that might be hard. He is with us. He is the branch. He's the Lion of Judah. The names God calls himself, the El Shaddai, the God Almighty. He calls himself the Good Shepherd. He calls himself the Physician. He also calls himself in the names of God, I am Lord, or I am the Lord. So what does Psalm 66 verses 1 through 4 remind us? To shout joyfully these names of God. Because isn't he amazing? His names alone should make us shout for him and proclaim to others of who he is and what he is. That's what the psalmist wants to get across in Psalm 1, 1 through 4. Do you give praise to God for him today? Just start with his names, as Psalm 1, 1 through 4 says. Start with his name and begin to go through his names and begin to give him praise. He is mighty indeed. He is with us today. He's with us forever. Begin to make a list that I have done on a piece of paper, and begin to think about this awesome and powerful God that he is. List those names and give him praise. Do you know what? Even think about not only his names, but even some of his works. His works. How awesome are your works, O God? I'm amazed. You know, we live in America. If you've traveled any part of America, we have such a variety of creation around us. Waterfalls, deserts, high mountains, rivers, streams, birds galore, all kinds of colors, animals. Isn't that amazing? Of the wonderful works. Just think the works of creation. Let alone the works of how he fearfully, wonderfully made us. How he works in this world around us every day to keep us safe. To keep food on the table for us. To give people minds to give us medications that provide for us or heal us. All those things are from a God and his mighty works. Do we give him praise? Do we come and give him praise? That's what we should be doing. It's interesting here because it says, because of the greatness of your power, your enemies will feign obedience to you. All theirs will worship you, but there are some that will give feigned obedience to you. Well, what does that mean? It means that some will pretend to come and worship God. Some will pretend to come and give lip service to God. Maybe just, by your young people, you don't have to raise your hands, but think about it. How many people, especially your young people who are in school, how many people of your friends that say, I'm a Christian, I go to church, and yet how many of them, when they speak, and they speak the name of the Lord, do they use it in the Lord's, and they use it in vain? Many people do that. He wants us to come and give our whole heart towards him. So we need to come and give him praise. Let's look at the next section. Come and see the works of God. It's an interesting, again, the author is again inviting us to come and see the works of God. These words come and see are as an imperative again. Just as it says there, and shout joyfully. It's imperative. It's a command. This is not an option. Come and see the works of God. Who is awesome in his deeds towards the Son of Man. Shout joyfully. He's commanding us to come and shout for joy and come and see his works. Continues to say, he turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. Let us rejoice in him. What's the reference to? Sea of dry land, most likely a reference to the Red Sea. What happened at the Red Sea? Remember the Israelites? They're in captivity for a whole generation with the Egyptians. They were enslaved to the Egyptians. They had no rights of their own. All their work went to the Egyptians. Eventually, God allowed Israelites to leave Egypt. And what happened? A few days later, the Egyptian army decided that they were going to come back and bring the Israelites back to Egypt to enslave them again. Israelites continued to go under the wilderness, and they got to the Red Sea. The Red Sea was in front of them. They could not cross it. The enemies are behind them. They could not go that direction. Here's an army with chariots and horses and Israelites. They didn't have a way to protect themselves. I'm sure the Egyptians the whole way were mocking the Israelites. Wait till we get told of them. But then what God did? God graciously opened the Red Sea up. Graciously allowed the Israelites to walk through that riverbed or seabed, and it was even dry. Their feet did not even have to get muddy. And as they walked through that and saw that clear, dry land, they also saw on both sides of them God holding the waters back. Seeing as the Israelites got through the other side and the Egyptian army came through, God closed the river, the waters over and drowned the Egyptian army. That is an awesome God. But you know what? How has he done that in your life this week? How has he worked in your life this year? How has he provided for you in a unique way? God says we need to come and see the works of God. Come and remember the works of God. And he's reminding us some of them works here in verse 6. And says, come and let us rejoice in him. In him. These are all of God and his mighty works. He rules by his might forever. He keeps watch on the nations. Let the rebellious exalt themselves. What's that reference to? I think that's reference to, guess what? We have evil in this world. We have people that think they're more in control than God. There is evil in this world, and people will do evil things. But guess what? He still keeps watch on the nations. He watches the nations. God, this is not under God's control. There's definitely rumors of war right now in the news. Some of our young people could be put into combat. I don't know. But then what? Is God still in control? He is. Those presidents, those premiers think they're under control. God is mightier than them. Come and see the mighty works of God. Don't let those that think they're in control, don't be overwhelmed by them. Bless our God, O people, and sound his praise abroad, who keeps us in his life and does not allow our feet to slip. Come and bless or give thanks. Because why? Verse 9, he doesn't allow our feet to slip. What does that mean, our feet to slip? It's an interesting term there. Interesting term. The idea of slipping feet seems to give the concept of protection from an unfortunate event. Some Hebrew scholars, and especially Hebrew scholars, would even say possibly even from death. Bless our God and peoples and sound his praise, who keeps us in life and does not allow our feet to slip. Egyptians, the Israelites could have been wiped out by the Egyptian army. There is no way they could have defended themselves against that army. And guess what? God protected them and provided for them, did not allow their feet to slip. Isn't that amazing? His provision is so good, so wise, and so perfect. It continues on, for you have tried us, O God. You have refined us as silver is refined. It's interesting. Idea there of being tested, of being tried. We will be tested. We will be tried. The Israelites were tested and tried, weren't they? They had to sit in captivity for 40 years, be enslaved. Do you think that was a good experience? That must have been harsh. God says that we'll be tested. God says that we'll be tried. It's not going to be easy. I love, though, in verse 10, and even Markham would know much more about this when he talks about what it says here. You've refined us as silver is refined. It's interesting wording there. Actually, just doing a little bit of reading. Basically, it's, if you take silver and you melt it at 1,640 degrees, it allows it to be melted, that could be poured without freezing. And then, but it can't be too hot because then it becomes destructive and it crystallizes and it doesn't allow the alloys to melt and then cool. What the author is trying to tell us here is that the refining process requires expertise. It requires an intimate knowledge of that metal, so that it can be done right. God has an intimate knowledge of you and I, of knowing what kind of trials, what kind of situations that we will need to go through, what we should go through, how we should go through it, how much heat he needs to put upon us, how much coolness he needs to bring towards us. God, in his intimacy, in his gracious works, knows about those things. He's not saying life is going to be easy. Life is going to be trials and tribulations. But he, as a medalist, knows perfectly how to control the heat and how to control and help us. I mean, even it says in verse 12, he made men to ride over our heads. It's a reference probably to a time of war. When an enemy captured sometimes a king, they would literally just take the king and put him on the ground, and they run their chariot over the top of his head to kill him. I love in verse 12, though, we went through fire and water. Both extremes, right? Fire and water. Extreme difficulties on either end. And Israel experienced a comprehensive list of trials. And so will we. So will the church. But let us give thanks to the Lord because he's refining us in our trials. Yet you have brought us out into a place of abundance, it says at the end of verse 12. You know what? As we come and give praise to him, as we come and see his mighty works, even though there will be difficulties along the way, God says, guess what? He will bring us into his place of abundance. His care and provision will still be there. And it won't be just a little bit. It's going to be abundant. I'm still amazed at the news when the doctor calls my wife and I for the results of the pathology report of her kidney. 97% chance it was going to be cancerous. Less than 3% it was non-cancerous. God did not have to do that. That was amazing abundance to us as a family. But do we come and see God's gracious works? It's easy to forget those things in the midst of our trials. It's so easy to neglect those things in our trials. And yet the psalmist here is reminding us, Israel, come back and worship me and shout joyfully, but don't forget that God does of works. And he'll work a mighty work in you, even though trials and difficulties will come. I will still provide for you abundant. Come and sing praise. Come and see the mighty works. And next, come into your house and give sacrifices with burnt offerings. Come. I will pay you my vows, which is on my lips. How do we give sacrifice to God? As a way of thanksgiving? With our lips. With our lips. And my mouth spoke when I was in distress. I shall offer you a burnt offering of the fat beast with the smoke of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and of male goats. How did the Israelites bring sacrifice of praise to God? They went to the temple and they gave of their best. They laid it on that altar. And it was burnt up as an offering for the Lord. He's not saying bring that back. He said, our sacrifice is from our lips. A sacrifice is from our lips. Actually, Ian used this passage this morning with the youth in Hebrews 13:15. Let's turn there real quick. Hebrews 13:15, because we're not going to bring Old Testament sacrifices back. Hebrews 13:15. Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Do not neglect doing good and sharing, for which sacrifices God is pleased. God wants us to come and give sacrifices of praise, of thanksgiving to him. Come and get sacrifice of praises of thanksgiving to him. Come into his house and come and worship. Come and worship loudly. Come and worship and remember his goodness. And come and give thanksgiving for those things. Come and give thanksgiving for them. And then verse 16. Come and hear. Hear all who fear God. Kind of I think a good summary of these verses is that the author wants us to tell others that God answers prayer. Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell of what he has done for my soul. At the beginning of this passage, he was trying to encourage the nation of Israel to worship, telling the church to remind the church to come and worship. Now he's becoming a little more personal, saying, you know what? I want to tell others what the Lord has done in my soul. I, the psalmist says, I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. And God has heard. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God. Blessed be God. And guess what? Who has not turned away my prayer, nor his loving kindness from me. He wants us to come and tell others about him. Because that's what Israel was supposed to be doing. That's why he set them apart to be distinct nation. So they would be distinct nation, so that other nations would know about Yahweh, the God that they should worship and shout praises for. As they saw him work mightily, as they begin to give him thanksgiving and praise again in the temples, we need to come and people need to hear about Yahweh God. But guess what? It comes from us. We have to be that voice. We have to be that life for others to be able to know who God is. How can they know unless they hear? You know, it's so easy just to come here on Sunday morning and to sit in a nice building in a nice pew with some nice air conditioning and heating and enjoy some sweet fellowship with godly people. But there is a world out there that needs to hear this news of Yahweh. Sacrifice, and he wants us to come and help out others about him. But then what I know, there are some here that have never come to Christ. There are some that have never accepted the Yahweh that the author of Psalm 66 is talking about. If not, I'd encourage you to come and speak with me afterwards or speak with another elder here. We would love to explain more to you about him, because he is maybe your father, your Jehovah Jireh, your protector, the God Almighty. He wants to be that God to you. He doesn't want you just to give lip service to him anymore. He wants you to come and worship him truly. And maybe some of us that are here, we just need to come and maybe spend time worshiping him a bit more. Now, if you take that word sala, and it means taking a brace, taking a pause, you know what? We just need to pause and give praise to God. We need to give pause and think about God's name. We need to give pause and think about God's wonderful works. We need to give pause and think about how I can proclaim the good news of Christ. God says we don't need just to be a hearer of the word. We need to be a doer of the word. So how can we pray this psalm as well? Should be a slide up here. From verses 1-3. Oh Lord, teach me how to praise you today. Boy, it's easy in this world, in this time of this world, to be very negative. But there's much to praise God for. Just take a few minutes to praise God. Lord, teach me how to shout joyfully for God's goodness to me. We should be doing that. Thank you, God, for being in control of this world as well as my life. If I listen to the news and I watch enough of the news, I read the news, I don't watch it on TV, it can be overwhelming. It can look like these other men and women are in power. But God is only in power. He is ultimately in control. One day, all will know that you're ruler and power, Lord, and that you keep watch over us. I'm thankful for that. We can also pray, we come to you, God, your refiner's fire. You refine us through these trials. You deem necessary for us to experience. Thankful, dear Lord, for this current trial I'm in. I wouldn't have written that faith journey for you. I never prayed that my wife would have cancer. But that's what we needed as a family. That's what she needed. Thank you, God, for that. That taught us to more rely upon you and realize that life could be short. Jesus, thank you for saving us and providing us with abundant blessing. Are you giving thanks? Lord, remove the wickedness from my thoughts and my actions. Because, man, it's so easy to think wickedly. Most of these came from this book that I recommended earlier today. With some other questions we can ask ourselves, the next slide. This week, how can I sing the praise of the Lord? Well, think through his names, as I just gave you a list. And there's other names in there. Think through his works. Read the Old Testament. Man, think of Israel. God's chosen people, their life was not easy. They had wars. Talking about wars and rumors of wars that were all around them. They had enemies around them all the time. Even today, even becoming a nation in 1948, guess what? Their enemies are still around them. They can't get away from them. Guess what? We're in the same boat, church body. The enemies are around us. But God is still at work. And we need to think about those things. In difficult times, how can I praise the Lord? Even when I find myself in difficult times, we're all going to be in refiner's fire. We're going to find ourselves there. But how can I still give you praise, God? You know what? Maybe you're as a young mom. You've been told to kids hundreds of times to not do that or stop that or quit fighting and arguing. What a great opportunity for you just to stop and think, though, you know what? I get a chance to see my kids' hearts. Lord, thank you for allowing me to see my kids' hearts and how I need to work on something with them. Lord, thank you that I also need to learn to be more patient with my children. Right? It's not an easy thing to do. But we need to turn it back and thank God for the trials that we're in. Maybe you found yourself in a work situation that's hard. Your boss is difficult to work with. They're asking you things that you're not sure how to do it or what to do or don't want to do it or it seems impossible to do. God, thank you for bringing this man, this woman in my life to teach me to persevere. That is how we need to apply God's word. It's easy to be hearers of it. No. God wants us to shout about it and tell us who he is and what he is to others. That's what Psalm 66 is about. It's a psalm of giving praise to God, even being reminded that we're going to be in the refiner's fire. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time together. Thank you for Psalm 66. We don't know who the author is, but dear Lord, I'm thankful for this man who wrote it, Lord, to remind us, dear Lord, that we need to come and give you praise. We need to shout from the mountaintops who you are and give you praise from our lips, remind ourselves of the great works, and tell others about your goodness to us. In these things we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Bible Church of Brownsburg. For more information, please visit our website at www.bcb.church or call 317-852-7475.